Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and we have the Three Musketeers. Please sign in at the Lakeville Journal. Good morning, everybody.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie, right here.
Dewey, Louie, that's right. I haven't heard that in a long time.
How about Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe?
That's right, but I like Huey, Louie, and Dewey better. I like that much better.
Well, that's because they were ducks.
All right. Well, let us move forward and take a look at This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And we will start off, first of all, with a nice picture of Amanda Freund of Freund's Farm in East Canaan, who, by the way, I'll be interviewing a little bit later on today about exactly what's in this and something else that's coming up. Diversity, the key to success. Who wants to take this one?
Oh, this is John. I'll talk about this. This is another in a series of farm futures stories that seminars, really, and panels that have been going on for a little while. The key here is that the farmers around here are, except for the big industrial-sized ones, which are pretty rare, really have to pivot all the time to respond to conditions and make things work on a smaller scale. And I think this story does a good job of explaining that. The challenge of not having enough land or the challenge of having to keep adhere to, you know, to sustainable practices is really a tough one for these farmers, but they are all full of hope.
You know, I'm going to be speaking with Amanda Freund a little bit later on today, and then playing it back beginning tomorrow about Earth Day and how farmers contribute to the environment, don't have to take away from the environment. So I'll be speaking with Amanda on that. She's just an amazing, that whole family, an amazing, great success story on how good and how great local farming can be. Another story across the top of the page is a sports story, and that is Hoosasonic Valley Regional High School. The girls' lacrosse team opened up their season.
Hey, it's Patrick. Hunter Lyle has some experience reporting on girls' lacrosse, which I didn't know until I asked him if he wanted to pick this up. And so he did a nice job with the game story and emphasizing the fact that the game is new to a lot of these players. So you're seeing some growing pains. So it's going to be fun to watch the team and see how they develop over the season.
I give credit to Housatonic. When I was at Housatonic fortnight and 500 years ago, there was basketball, there was football, and there was track and field and baseball, but very, very, very limited women's sports. In 1971, I think, is when we introduced a girls' basketball team. And it's come a long way now where the women at Housatonic have every much ability and to play and compete in competitive sports. And I think Housatonic was one of the first high schools to get into that back in the 70s. So kudos to Housatonic. Let's go over to North Canaan. And in what is becoming a trend here in Sharon, it was the Board of Education budget. And in North Canaan, the regular budget has been sent back to find reductions. So who wants this budget story?
I'll take it. All the towns are looking at increases in municipal spending, but North Canaan more so than most. And it comes at a particularly difficult time with the Region 1 assessment increase. So the Board of Finance is pushing back, which is what they're supposed to do. And we'll see how it resolves itself. But it's not been an easy year for any of the towns to come to get their budget packages together. I think a lot of people sort of had in the back of their mind that the big flood of federal ARPA money and stuff like that was going to ease the situation, but it didn't really, because there's a limited number of things you can spend that federal money on. It's not like a blank check here, you know, spend it on whatever you want.
I like what you said, Patrick, and it's becoming more and more prevalent over the years where the Board of Finance does push back. It is not just a rubber stamp. They do push back to the Board of Selectmen. And the great thing about that is it adds more publicity, I think, because eventually, even though the Board of Finance might approve something and then the Selectmen approve it, the people get to vote. And I think the more the Board of Finance pushes back, the more people understand exactly what's in the budget.
Yeah, this is small d democracy. Yep. This is as close as you get to the Athenian ideal, although you'd probably get some raised eyebrows if you said that anywhere publicly, like I just did. But and I really think the key here is for citizens to pay attention. In a democracy, small d, you have to pay attention.
Absolutely. All right. I want to go down to another story, which is a pretty interesting story and comes with a very interesting picture as well. History sleuths find fur trading post.
Deb sent me a press release about that and said, you want me to see what this is about? And I said, sure, thinking it would be something fairly short. And it turned into this epic that is just fascinating. And I love the whole bit about, you know, they knock a wall down and they find this chalk marking still on the beam or whatever it was. And I just thought it was a nice, quirky story and the kind of thing that makes our area special.
A picture, that's one big beaver.
Yeah.
I mean, in my family lived, we had beavers all around, and if I ever saw a beaver that side, I would ask my mother to move. John, we're going to go to you once again, and this deals with Ukraine, but it also deals with an NPR veteran reporter that's helping in that matter.
Yes, this is a great story that started in a funny way. It started 15 years ago when Ann Garrels wrote a story about a young girl whose father was killed in some sectarian violence in Iraq. She stayed behind. She was one of a handful of reporters who stayed behind after the war started and covered it. There was a man who reached out to her back then who wanted to see what he could do to help that young girl, and his name is Art Davidson. He did help that young woman, a girl at the time, and now she's a grad student at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. So this time he asked Anne, what can we do? And he and Anne and a couple of other people started this way of shuttling essential material, goods, flak jackets, medical gear into the Ukraine, and that's been going on. They've hit real success with almost probably today by $500,000 worth of materials. They fly it out of Miami, it goes right to Warsaw, it crosses the border, and it goes right into the hands of people who need it.
All right, now let's give you a little bit of publicity here, John. You're going to be giving a talk on April 30th at Noble Horizons.
Yes, I am looking forward to that, and I don't want to tell too much about my thoughts because I have to formulate them still. But one of the things that I absolutely think I will share with that audience is that I'm standing on the shoulders of those who went before me. And with a little help from my colleagues here too, the two on the radio. But yes, I look forward to that, and especially in as much as the audience will be, a generation that has seen a lot of the Lakeville Journal over the years.
All right, I want to move on to the story, of course, with Earth Day coming up. Farmers reinvent their ways for Earth's sake.
Right. This is what's exciting here too is that you see real innovation coming out of farmers today, especially younger farmers. And here we have two women farmers who are very, very inventive. on this panel, but in the way they approach agriculture to preserve not only the health of the land, what they call the soil, but also the health of the community. And they're really into animal health and human health and the land's capacity. So this is, I think it's important for the Lakeville Journal to recognize a lot of the farming that goes on around here. I know in some areas we used to have, some towns would have many farms. Now they have two. So it's a good idea to foster this kind of activity.
And you've got a story in the paper this week on the Board of Selectmen meeting, which can be rather mundane when you follow them, and Patrick knows what I'm talking about there. And yes, there is a discussion of new mobile medical unit, also the Grove prices and stuff. But the good news that came out of that meeting, and I think it's really good news, is one of the best parades that happens in our area. The Memorial Day Parade, after a two-year absence, is coming back to the town of Salisbury.
Yeah, that's... that's very welcome news, because it's a lot of fun, and it also fills up a lot of real estate in that week's paper, which is always welcome. And it's just a sign that we're over the hump. That doesn't mean you relax your vigilance about COVID and the rest of it. I mean, just don't go nuts here, but we've got the parade. We're getting back to normal. This is all very encouraging in a year that has, frankly, not been very encouraging up to this point.
Absolutely. Good story here about how you can have a competition. The FFA has their competition, and the competition basically is on operating equipment safely, and it's not only is it a competition, but it's instructional.
That story is written by the FFA reporter, Mackenzie Casey, and she did a nice job. I kind of sprang it on her. She was standing there, and I said, hey, why don't you write this one, and I'll take the pictures. So she said, okay. And the competition with the pallets and the bucket of water struck me as particularly diabolical. It was so hard to do. You could see this the little bulldozer thing. It shakes around a lot as it is. And then they put some bumps out in the parking lot, and there's water splashing all over the place. And I was thinking, I wouldn't even know which lever to pull, never mind how to do this. And these young people were maneuvering it around. I mean, I would have crashed in the first 10 seconds, I guarantee it.
You know, we talked about this before it happened, and that is the Rotary Service Day. And you've got a nice story in there, Patrick, about Housatonic Valley Regional High School students who participated in that.
Yeah, that caught me by surprise. They formed the Environmental Action League, and they were out there putting their money where their mouth is and cleaning up stuff, including some disgusting stuff. And the one thing that struck me about it is that it probably it would be a good idea to do this every 3 months, because I'm on that river a lot, and I see all kinds of stuff, although I do see fewer typewriters, mattresses, bed springs, things like that. You don't see as much of that anymore, but just kind of casual litter. And then with the increase in use over the pandemic summers, I saw more of it. So it would be a good idea to do this at least a couple times a year, or do it again in the fall.
You point something that's really interesting out, Patrick, and that is you can look at the Housatonic River from afar, driving by it and everything. Oh, how beautiful, how gorgeous. But when you're actually in it and you're a fisherman, it's you get a close-up view, and you actually see what's along the banks.
When you hook a shopping cart, it tends to change your perspective.
Okay. That's right. All right. Now, on the next page, you've got your tangled lines, but also we talked about it a little bit. The spring sports season has started at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
Yes. And Ann gave us a very detailed report, and she's going to be, because she's the Region 1 athletic director, so that includes the middle school program, too. So she's going to switch between the high school and middle school, or incorporate more of the middle school stuff as the season progresses. I don't think we're going to have a report for next week's paper because the schools are out this week, and there were a couple of games scheduled, but they got postponed or canceled already.
All right. I want to go on to the next page. A terrific picture of a fox, which is absolutely beautiful, but right next to it is a hard news story, and that is the wastewater plan in Cornwall. They're putting together a timetable now for that.
Yes, this thing has been cooking along for some time, and they've got to essentially prepare themselves to have a referendum, and there's a lot behind that effort. They have some federal money awarded, and now they have to seek out additional, maybe a low-interest loan that can be paid back over maybe a couple of decades. But this is, I think, very exciting news for West Cornwall.
All right, I'm going to plug something for your Millerton News. People should be aware, and for the Millerton News, they had that big meeting, public hearing last night. It got a little raucous. It was a little, but there's going to be a video that's going to be posted on the Village of Millerton website. But I know that the Millerton News will have a full story on that meeting and what's going forward with the possible replacement of the Millerton Police Department with the Dutchess County Sheriff's Office. So I just wanted to pre-plug, let people know about that. I know there'll be a great outlay in the Millerton News next week on that.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go on to the editorial page, and that is thanks for saving the next trees.
Yes, this is a great editorial thanking all those activists, environmentalists, and residents who came out when the Housatonic Meadows tree cutting happened last winter. We did a story last week on efforts to put some control on DEEP, and this editorial there's a thanks given to the expertise brought forth by all those people from Housatonic Meadows Preservation Act, as well as, you know, the Commission, the Valley Association, Sharon Audubon, Trout Unlimited, and the Berkshire Litchfield Environmental Council. There are a lot of really dedicated people down there who really have come to the rescue, so to speak. And thanks to Craig Miner for putting together that legislation that's in Hartford.
All right, you've got a lot of different letters turning back the pages, but you guys must love when Mark Godmer writes a letter, because I can tell you right now, your next week's letter section is going to be full of letters.
That's right. I was just saying to John, the great thing about Mark is that he inspires other writers to write. And so what can you say? We have another letter from Mark, but the last line of his letter is very correct, which is, you shouldn't get all of your news from one source. Everybody's got a bias. It's really good if you do, in fact, try to get a little taste of what everybody's putting out there and make your own opinion. Largely a letters page of thanks. You've got Marie Barnum talking about the upcoming Day of Prayer. A hard year for everybody, but still things to be thankful for. The Hardys over in the Falls Village and their lovely lilies, the day lilies that have been so popular with people for years, and so the Rotary people came over and helped them with their lily patch as they're getting older, as we all are. Katie Fragang, a nice note about John's article on the Housatonic Meadow trees, and a reminder that it's time to keep our masks on to fight COVID. Nice column from Dick Aulis about a little history of diversity on the Supreme Court and some interesting factoids that you might not have known, worth reading. And, of course, your favorite, turning back the pages, and a very interesting one about a fight that broke out on the first day of fishing back in 1972.
And, like, I love Peter Steiner's cartoon, really. It makes me laugh, but it's so true. I'm not going to go any further than that, though.
He says the thing that you're trying not to tell yourself is real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is exciting. We've got Lila Hawken, who is our theology reporter, reporting on a Zoom talk that was done by Franny Tolliver from Cornwall, and a woman who had been her student when Franny was an English teacher at the Brearley School and has gone on to be an expert scholar on the Bible. And so, of course, Lila brings a lot of knowledge to the topic, and a really interesting talk really about sort of who wrote the Bible. We don't really know, but she explains why we don't really know. Coming up May 14th, we've got Trade Secrets, which is one of the huge, huge annual events around here. It's sprawling out in the same way as the ski jumps. It's going to be at the White Hart. It's going to be at the at Lime Rock Park this year. Expensive, but worth it. And people do come from all over the country to come for the sale and the garden tours. But my favorite, of course, is the Highland Games. Don't miss that when they come up at the end of June. And then Cornwall's beloved fundraiser for the Little Guild is going to be also at Lime Rock Park this year. Rebecca Bloomfield is doing a talk and exhibition of her photos from COVID. She traveled all over the world and just talked to people about what life is like. And people who come to the opening party can break into sessions and sit and share their own experiences. And the wonderful Natalie Merchant, who's been very active in Dutchess County on different causes, is doing a concert to open the Kotsbon summer season, and a new show at Trumaine Gallery, which is opening up again, All Blues. And that is our compass this week.
All right. What a story, John. The bear raiding the family rabbit crates and the pictures that show the result of that.
Yeah, that was the woman, Christy Bodwell, called up and said, "Are you interested in a story about what happened to my rabbits? We have a bear attack." And yes, we are, because I can't think of too many kinds of stories around here where people love to hear what happened with a bear. What did the bear do? How did it get in? How can we prevent it in the future? So this poor family lost the large percentage of its rabbit. They used them for meat. And so now the little children who play in the yard wear whistles.
Very smart. I have,
and the bears are coming out right now. This is when they're coming out of hibernation.
Full time. I've got this little pocket air horn that I have, and I sometimes it'll work. But if you've got a bear that's got youngins around it, you just have to stay away, because nothing will stop that bear if it wants to protect the youngins. Very quickly, you've got that story by Lila on a couple of votes were taken, I think very smart, by the town of Sharon, paying off loans early on equipment.
Right. I think this is a very lightly attended meeting, and it seems really significant that the town, envisioning interest rates going up, decided to pay off this loan. And so that's, they also did a little other thing on spending some money on a pavilion roof. But it was very smart of them to
They paid off a $450,000 loan early. That obviously saves a lot of money for the town and interest rates. So that's why I wanted to plug that for the town. Good news for the town. Well, those stories and many, many more in the Lakeville Journal, also the Millerton News over in New York State. Once again, you can find them both at tricornernews.com, and you can click on the top banner like I always do, because I have a digital subscription. And you can look at the full paper in digital. Guys, we will speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Yep. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, you can find them at tricornernews.com.